Catholic Answers Live. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. This is Chris Check sitting in for your regular host, Cy Kellett, who's home recovering. Keep Cy in your prayers after putting in a great hard effort with our fun drive.
Yeah.
Yeah, he did a and with me in studio, Mr. Aiken.
Yes, hello. Mr. How's
Jimmy
it going,
Aiken.
Chris?
Yes, it's going very well, and I'm very happy to be hosting the show.
Yeah, I really admired Cy yesterday because I knew before the show that he was in pain, and we had contingency plans in case it got too bad, but he soldiered on. And I guess, people who are watching the streaming kind of could see because he would stand up some during the during some of the show. But I was listening and you couldn't tell by what was going out to the radio audience. I guess like a lot of us, he's really good at hiding his inner pain.
Well, so. I think, this was some outer pain too. It's his back that's giving him fits and everything. But so keep Cy on your prayers. We're getting him a day of rest and acupuncture or something. I don't know. I just made that up. I don't know if he's going to get acupuncture. But in this hour, we are taking calls only from kids. I'm not exactly sure, Jimmy, how canon law defines a kid.
Actually, there's more than one threshold on the way to majority in canon law. So it depends on how it gets defined. It depends on what – there are different gradations of kid in canon law.
I guess it really matters how Catholic Answers Live defines a kid.
For present purposes, yes. I would say anybody under 18.
Okay, anybody under 18. All right. So you can actually have a driver's license and call and ask a kid's question.
Yeah.
Good, good, good. All right, excellent. You've got big plans for the weekend, Jimmy?
Yeah, I'm calling a contra dance tomorrow night.
So this is an opportunity to remind all of our listeners that Jimmy Aiken, in addition to being an apologist extraordinaire, and by the way, Jimmy, I didn't have a chance to congratulate you on that job you did. Was it 2 days ago? We got the call from the gentleman in Turkey asking, and folks, if you have not heard that, if you go to CatholicAnswersRadio.com, there's the video footage. We had a phone call from Turkey during our radio drive of a gentleman from Turkey. So what is that? I don't even know. 2-3 in the morning. He was
something
calling.
Like that, yeah.
Very much interested in becoming a Catholic, but concerned for his livelihood, his well-being, and how this might affect him. And to hear what Jimmy said, you're going to have to go to CatholicAnswersRadio.com. But it was really well handled.
You did a super job.
And Carlo too, inside.
Yeah.
We had the whole team in there helping this guy towards the truth. So praise God. But we are taking calls from kids, 888-318-7884. And Jimmy, it looks like the calls are coming in already. So if you're good with that, we're going to go straight to Alexandra. Alexandra in Virginia. Welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Thank you so much, Jimmy. Hi, how are you doing?
We're doing well. How old are you, Virginia? I mean, Alexandra.
I'm 11.
which part of Virginia do you live in?
I live in Burke.
Oh, I know Burke. That is a suburb of Washington, D.C.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I have friends who live in Burke. Praise God. Okay, Virginia, what's your question for Jimmy?
So my dad tells me that if someone strikes me, I strike them back. But Jesus said that if someone strikes me, I turn the other cheek. What am I supposed to do?
Great question.
Well, another thing that God also says in the Bible, so Jesus signs off on this one as well, is honor your father and mother. So what we need to do in this situation is find a way of harmonizing these two things, both respect for parents and the counsel that Jesus gives us in the Sermon on the Mount, which is where he says, if someone strikes you on one cheek, offer him the other as well. One of the things that becomes clear when you study Scripture is that Hebrew culture frequently uses a kind of exaggeration to make a point. There's a fancy word for that. It's called hyperbole. But we use it in English as well. We'll say things like, oh, thanks a million. And we don't literally mean we're going to thank somebody a million times. We just mean thanks a lot. It's a kind of exaggeration to make a point that we're thankful. And in the same way, they use this form of exaggeration to make a point or hyperbole in the Bible a lot. And we see Jesus using it at times, like when he says, if your eye offends you, causes you to sin, pluck it out. He doesn't mean that literally. He means do whatever it takes to deal with sin in your life, but he really doesn't mean pluck out your eye. It's, again, it's this exaggeration to make a point. And when we find these similar statements in the Sermon on the Mount, like if someone strikes one cheek, give him the other to strike as well, it's meant to make the point that we should be generous and forgiving and not immediately strike back unless there's a special reason to. And there are reasons why at times you need to strike back. For example, Alexander, you might someday grow up and have your own kids. And if someone threatened your kids, you'd need to defend them. So that would be a case where striking back could be legitimate if you had to do it to defend your kids. There are other situations as well. If someone is just bullying you, you can need to put a stop to their bullying. And sometimes the way to do that may be defending yourself. But we should be willing to suffer inconvenience when other people make demands on us or even do bad things to us. We should be willing to not immediately strike back and to be generous and forgiving with them. But there's a balance here. The natural tendency when anybody hurts us is to immediately want to hurt them back. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus is stressing the other side of the balance, because since we're sinful, the tendency is to always want to immediately strike back and revenge ourselves on people. And Jesus is saying, no, here's the other side of that equation. But in practice, we have to find a balance. And so in your own situation, you should take your father's counsel very seriously. If there's a situation in your life where someone is harassing you, and in his judgment, you need to give that person some pushback, then your father is an adult. He loves you. He has to look out for your well-being. And so you should take his counsel very seriously in particular situations. But overall, there's a balance that needs to be struck between defending ourselves and not immediately striking back.
How's that, Alexander? Does that help you get your imagination around this question?
Yes, thank you so much.
Okay, good.
No problem.
God bless you, Alexander. And of course, you can always...
Very thoughtful of her.
Right, it is very thoughtful. And as Jimmy says, it's finding this balance, and it's going to be really taking it to God in prayer, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's going to help you. That's going to help you have some clarity there, Alexander. Thank you for the call. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. With me in studio, Mr. Jimmy Akin, senior apologist here at Catholic Answers, and we are taking calls only from kids. 888-318-7884. Jimmy, we're going to take a short break, but before we do, I want to tell all the parents who are listening that Catholic Answers has put together a resource for parents, because kids are going back to school, right? And going to school in this age in which we live presents challenges to parents that they would not have dreamed of when they were kids. And so Catholic Answers has put together a new ebook, and the book is totally free. The Catholic Answers Back to School Primer for Parents, and I'm sure a lot of Trent's advice and Layla Miller's advice is in there. You can download your copy, your free copy today, by going to the free ebook banner at shop.catholic.com. So visit shop.catholic.com, visit the free ebook banner, and get your copy of the Catholic Answers Back to School Primer for Parents. We have a couple of lines open still, 888-318-7884, taking questions only from kids, back after the break.
Have a question? We've got answers.
Catholic Answers
Live.
Catholic Answers Live is proudly supported by CatholicChemistry.com, a new dating site for Catholics who want to do dating right and believe relationships start with Catholic chemistry. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicChemistry.com for their generous support on the web at CatholicChemistry.com.
Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects home buyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
I said to the sisters one day, what do you think you're going to look like in heaven? Oh, some of them had absolutely magnificent ideas. I didn't think of one of them. And so I got desperate because then my turn came. I didn't know what to say. And so in desperation, I said, what do you think I'll wear in heaven? And they all said with one voice, armor!
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
Truth. We are Catholic Answers Live. Chris Check sitting in for Cy Kellett. With me in studio, Mr. Jimmy Akin, taking calls only from kids. Jimmy, I interrupted myself in the first part of the first segment there.
I always hate when I interrupt myself.
I do it all the time. Poor people have to listen to me. You had mentioned that you're calling a dance.
A contra dance this weekend.
Which is a kind of square dance or...
It's related.
In the genre. Okay. Yeah. In the family. In the genus.
Yeah, they're related.
Right. What I meant to say is you'll be calling square dancing at our conference.
Yes, I will.
Yeah, CatholicAnswersConference.com. The end of September, the early church was the Catholic Church. But people had... You did this last year.
Yeah.
And people... We had, I don't know, maybe 300... people. We got about 1,000 people come to the conference, but we had 300 people there in that giant hall outside the conference room, all square dancing and making new friends. And
yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was. Right.
Looking forward to it.
Have you got some complex apologetics problems that you have set to a square dance melody?
No, I tend to keep apologetics and dancing separate, although I do throw in little tidbits from now on.
Okay, well, if you want to hear what those tidbits are, folks, you're going to have to come to our conference, CatholicAnswersConference.com.
But today, as you know, we're taking calls from kids. And so if you're under 18 and you have a question, maybe something that you've thought about for a long time, it could be a question maybe about the Bible or about something the church teaches or about... other people's religions, something you've always wondered about, now's your chance to ask. We've got the lines open for you. We have some lines open right now, so just give us a call.
Maybe you are preparing for First Communion or for Confirmation. You have a question about the Sacrament of Reconciliation or Confession, as it used to be called.
Still is.
Yeah, still is, right? Something your teacher said, something you read in a book. Something your parents said, like the excellent call we just had from Alexandra.
Something you read in a book. Something you saw on a video.
Jimmy, the kids who call our show are reading books.
They're also video watchers, too.
Yeah, very good. All right, 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Taking calls only from kids. Let's go to Joseph in Cleveland, Ohio. Joseph, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hey guys.
Joseph, how old are you, brother?
I'm 15.
Okay, glory.
Awesome.
Very good. And what's your question for Mr. Akin?
My question is, I was wondering if you guys have any good basic resources for the intro for Intro to Apologetics.
Yeah, we have quite a number of things. One thing we have is a series that was written by our friend Jim Burnham called Beginning Apologetics. Mm-hmm. It's a series of kind of small magazine-shaped books, and there's a number of those things that cover different kinds of apologetics. Also, we have Trent Horn's book, Why We're Catholic, and that's a nice resource. I have a book called A Daily Defense.
I think that's an excellent resource, Jimmy, and it's in perfect bite size chunks.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it covers literally hundreds of topics related to apologetics. So that I recommend that frequently to people. And then coming up, we have a course, a video course that I recently taped. It's also called Beginning Apologetics. And it's part of the Catholic Answers School of Apologetics. It's going to be debuting in the near future. Just this week, I was going over the videos for it. We have a rough cut we're working on right now, and it'll be available on the internet. So your parents could always sign you up for that. But those other resources in print are good ones to start with.
Yeah, and if you go to shop.catholic.com, shop.catholic.com, you can find them all. And Joseph, it's not just because Mr. Akin is sitting here next to me. I like all the things that he suggested, and I love Trent's book, Why We're Catholic. But I have benefited myself very much from Jimmy's book, A Daily Defense. And like I say, it's made out for 365 days plus one for leap year.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
each page is a different subject.
Right. And so you can knock each one of these out. You know, if you do it thoughtfully, in about 10 minutes, I would think.
Oh, a page? You can read in like 3 to 5.
Well, no, but I'm saying, by this I mean that you, if you take the time to read the lesson and then think about it in your head and mm-hmm. maybe even go over some scenarios or something like
look
that.
Look up some Bible passages. Mm-hmm.
Right, to practice it. Yeah. But if you built, and then maybe go to Catholic.com, where there is practically an infinite amount of apologetics material, then, you know, but if you started with that daily defense, and you and then you used each one of those as a point of departure and then went to Catholic.com, I think you would be really well on your way to learning apologetics. Joseph, what has you interested in apologetics?
There's a lot of people in my school, you know, who disagree with the church's teaching on homosexuality, some of abortion, and some atheists. Like, mm-hmm. And I kind of just wanted to defend the faith and, you know, try to save the souls and stuff.
Awesome.
Yeah, very good. Well, then another book that I would recommend to you is the one that our friends, or Trent Horn and our friend Layla Miller put together called Made This Way. And it's actually a book that's written for parents to help them talk to their kids. But you're 15 years old. There's nothing in there that's going to alarm you. And it does talk about those particular questions that you're going to find, especially in junior high and high school. So I'd recommend that to you as well as a good place to start. How's that?
I'm great.
Good,
thank
good, good. All right, call anytime, Joseph. God bless you. Keep us in your prayers.
I'm back. God bless you.
888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. We are taking calls from kids, and this is a great time to call.
Yeah,
because
got lines open.
We have lines open right now. So any question, if you're a kid under 18 years old, so you can have a driver's license and still call. If you have a question about theology, about apologetics, about the sacraments, about something the church teaches, about something that you think the church teaches, but you're not absolutely sure if you don't does the church teach that? What does this especially mean? Something that you heard in school? Something that you read somewhere? So, or as Jimmy says, as Ms. Reagan says, saw in a video. So
I see a lot of things in videos. Very educational.
Which ones do you like?
Oh, well, it depends. I mean, I like the PBS Spacetime series. I like the Number File series. I like a whole bunch of different little educational channels that I watch.
Okay, those are two I've never heard of.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I
well, PBS Spacetime is about astrophysics, and PBS sponsors it, and they talk about all kinds of different astrophysical topics. Number File is devoted to mathematics and interesting things to know about mathematics. There are a lot of little fun things you can learn in videos.
Yes. Okay. I'll have to look both of those up. I actually like listening to rather than looking at.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know how we got on this PBS thing, but there's a show that they, I think I've mentioned this to you, that they do on Saturdays here,
uh-huh.
Away with Words.
Oh, yeah.
And it's two linguists. I actually
right.
think they're headquartered here in San Diego.
It's certainly historically they have been. I'm not sure if they still are, but
yeah,
yes.
That is a superb show.
And I have a question that I have submitted to them and they have never answered.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's this phrase that you encounter in Gilbert and Sullivan and other older English works where someone will, in incredulity, there's like some say someone says something really surprising and the a person will say, go to.
Oh,
and
like, no way.
It's like, no way, or you're kidding me, or something like that.
Right.
But I want to understand where that came
that.
From.
Yeah.
It's not, it doesn't appear to be what you might think.
Go to.
It doesn't appear to be that. It's not used that way.
Huh.
But I've submitted that to their question line, and they have never answered me. I think I've stumped
them. I think it sounds as if you have. Well, let's see who can stump Jimmy, stump Mr. Aiken. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. We are taking calls only from kids, calls about apologetics, evangelization, theology, the Bible, the catechism, anything about the Catholic faith. You have a question about another religion. How does Catholicism compare to Protestantism? Or a question about Islam, for example. Or maybe you have a question about atheism or something like that. Please call 888-318-7884. A few lines still open. Let's go to Tatia in El Paso, Texas. Tatia, welcome to Catholic Answers Live. Tatia, there? You there?
Yes, yes.
Did I say your name correctly, dear?
Yes.
Well, you can correct me if I didn't. It's all right.
It's hard to translate it over the phone. It's Katia.
Oh, Katia.
Katia.
C-I-A.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Okay.
Okay, very good. All right.
Thank you. My name is frequently misspelled by people, too, and mispronounced.
Yes.
So, yeah.
All right, good. Well, I'm glad we got that fixed.
Yeah, mine is, too. Okay.
Good, good, good. All right, Katia, what's your question?
Thank you for taking my call.
Of course. How can we help?
Okay. I just wanted to know if it's like a rule when you're in adoration and you're leaving. I know some people turn their back and some people don't, and I've always been told to walk out like backwards while I'm still facing the mansion. So I wanted to know, like, if that's a rule.
That's not a rule. That may be a pious custom that is practiced in some places, and you know, and if your parents say that's the way you should do it, then I would go ahead and do it that way. Well, at least while you're living under their roof. But it's not a rule that the church has. It's a pious custom that some people follow.
How's that, Katia?
Oh, okay.
Good, good, good. I knew a priest. I knew a priest from Chicago, south side of Chicago. He was half Polish, half Irish. He did that.
Uh-huh.
He would always back out if the monsters were exposed.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I
can understand why some people would want to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. But certainly the church doesn't require it.
No.
And I don't think our Lord requires it.
No.
Or he would have made it clear to us.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good. Katia, by the way, from El Paso, Texas, the prayers of the staff of Catholic Answers are with you and the people of El Paso.
Thank you so much. It really means a lot.
All right.
We need as much unity.
Amen.
Right now as we can get.
Amen. Amen. And of course, we find unity in Jesus' church. God bless. All right. Thank you for calling. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. Chris Check sitting in for Cy Kellett, taking calls only from kids. Let's go to Annabelle in Jacksonville, Florida. Annabelle, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Why does God challenge some kids to do things that they know they can't do?
Can you give me an example, Annabelle, of when God would challenge a kid to do something that the kid knows he can't do?
Well, if they have like some kind of disability and they know they can't do this test, and God challenges them to do it, why does he do it?
Okay, well, God actually never asks people to do what's impossible for them. So, like, I am a human being. I don't have wings, so I can't fly. So God would never ask me to fly. Also, like, my brother is colorblind, and so God would never ask him to see colors that he can't see. So God never challenges kids or adults to do things that he knows they can't do. He does sometimes ask them to do their best in a situation, like maybe in the case of someone who has a disability and they're not going to perform as well on a test as someone else, God still wants the person to do as well as they can on that test. And so he may ask a person to do, as much as he can, but he doesn't ask them to do things they can't. And so if a kid or anybody else thinks that God has told them to do something that they really can't do, there's been some kind of misunderstanding. God hasn't really asked a person to do that. Now, there are cases where people can do things that they're not aware that they can do. They may find that they can, for example, someone might think, oh, I could never learn to play the piano. you know, I just couldn't do that. But then when they try, they find out, oh, I can do this. And sometimes God might ask a person to try something they think they can't do, and then they find out they really can. But God never actually asks someone to do something they truly can't. God knows our limits, and he doesn't ask us to go beyond them.
Does that give you some peace, Annabella, on this question that you had?
Yes.
Good.
Thank you.
Good, good, good. Well, were we able to answer your question?
Yes.
Good.
Good.
Excellent. All right, Annabelle, thank you for calling. God bless you. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. We are taking calls only from kids. Jimmy Akin, senior apologist here at Catholic Answers, answering questions. Jimmy, that's a great consolation.
Yeah.
That God doesn't ask us to do things.
It sure is.
That we can't do.
Yeah.
And he gives us the grace to do things that we think we might not be able to do.
That's right. Yeah. He helps us out.
More kids' questions after the break. 888-318-7884.
The show, make sure to catch up by downloading the podcast, available online at catholic.com.
Jesus asked his disciples, "Who do you say that I am?" Turns out that today, as back then, this question has a lot of different answers. So many groups want to appropriate Jesus, tweaking his identity until he looks and sounds just like one of them. But then you no longer have the Lord, says apologist Trent Horn. You have an imposter. In his new groundbreaking book, Counterfeit Christ, Trent exposes 18 phony versions of Jesus that we encounter today, helping you to recognize the fakes when you see them, explain why they're phony, and make a case for the full truth and beauty of who Jesus is, the Christ, the Son of the living God. Order your copy of Counterfeit Christ today by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Love and beauty. As a little girl, Dawn Eden Goldstein knew she wanted those things, that in them, somehow, she would find God. Over the years, as a rock journalist, she moved among some of popular music's best-known artists, straining to capture that transcendent love and beauty in every note and lyric. In Sunday Will Never Be the Same, Dawn recounts her spiritual journey in beautifully wrought detail, mixing powerful accounts of trauma, healing, and epiphany with funny anecdotes from inside the music scene. It is the rare conversion story that delights as it inspires, amuses as it edifies, and ultimately lays before the reader a lived testimony to the transforming grace of Christ. Order your copy of Sunday Will Never Be the Same by calling 1-888-291-8000, visiting the shop at catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Hi, this is Dr. David Anders. Do you have questions about the Catholic faith? Listen for the best of Called to Communion on Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern and live on Monday, 2 p.m. Eastern. Called to Communion on EWTN Radio. Now, back to Catholic Answers Live.
Thank you, Dr. David Anders. Thank you, Dr. David Anders. Catholic Answers Live. Christopher Check, president of Catholic Answers, sitting in for the recovering Cy Kellett, who's got a little bit of back pain. Actually, a lot of bit, I think. So keep him in your prayers as he's getting that worked out. And I'm very happy to be sitting in here for him, and very happy to be sitting with Mr. Jimmy Akin, senior apologist at Catholic Answers, and very happy to be taking calls only from kids, anyone under 18 who has a question about Scripture, religion, the Mass, the sacraments, confession, confirmation. Maybe you're preparing for Holy Communion. 888-318-7884.
Maybe you have a friend who's not Catholic.
And would like to know how to talk to him.
Yeah, maybe you have a question about what one of your friends who's not Catholic has told you.
Believes, and how can we get that conversation underway? Yeah. Very good. Excellent. Well, there are a few lines open still, so 888-318-7884. If you're a kid, this is your chance to get your question answered. Let's go to Susie in our home city of beautiful San Diego. Susie, welcome to Catholic Answers Live. What's your question for Mr. Akin?
Hi, my question is, how do you know when people you are praying for get out of purgatory?
I love this question. This is a
question. Yeah. The only way you would know is if God gave you a private revelation and told you. Yeah. And God normally doesn't do that. So most of the time, we don't know if someone has gotten out of purgatory that we've been praying for. But that's okay. Because even if they're already out of purgatory, we can still pray for them and God can help them while they're in purgatory. Let's suppose, for example, you're praying for someone, maybe a relative, who died back in the year 2010. That was, I guess, the year you were born, Susie, or pretty close to the year you were born. And so if, let's say they died in 2010 and they went to be with Jesus and they needed to be purified in purgatory, and let's say it took them until the year 2012. So they spent like 3 years in purgatory. Well, even though you're praying for them now in 2019, because God knows everything, God knew back in 2009 and 2010 and 11 that you would be praying for them in 2019. And so even though you weren't praying for them yet, God knew you would be praying for them and could help them back then when they were in purgatory. And so God can help someone at any point in time that they need help. And so we can pray for anybody at any point in time when they need help, and God can give them that help. And so we don't have to worry about, well, are they already out or something like that? God can give them the help when they need it. This is actually something Pope Benedict talked about in one of the big letters he wrote, where he talked about purgatory and said that time doesn't matter in this way because of how God is outside of time, and he can help people with our prayers no matter when they need it.
And Jimmy, is it also safe to say that we pray and our prayers may be imperfect or we may be distracted or we don't say things exactly the way we want to, but the Holy Spirit takes those prayers, mm-hmm. and he perfects them in a sense, and he gives them to God the Father, mm-hmm. and then God makes of them what needs to be made of them.
Yeah.
So if there are other souls in purgatory, perhaps, who could use some prayers as well?
Well, if we wanted to help other souls in purgatory,
we
too,
could pray for them.
God knows what's in our heart. He knows we'd want it to help them. But
right.
God can also help the specific person we're praying for.
Right. Very good. Susie, God bless you. And I see that you are Thomas's little sister. Thank you for calling. And that's great that you are already at the age of 9 praying for souls in purgatory. Keep that practice up for your whole life, okay, dear?
Okay.
And when I'm in purgatory, please, God, pray for me, okay?
Okay.
Thank you, dear. Thank you for calling. 888-318-7884, 888-318-7884. Let's go to Emerson in beautiful Omaha, Nebraska. Emerson, welcome to Catholic Answers Live. What's your question for Mr. Aiken?
I was wondering, how would I know if God called me to be a nun?
Well, you would want to do a number of things. One thing you'd want to do is pray about it, and you'd also want to investigate it. And this is true not just of being a nun, but of anything that you think might be a good thing to do in life, whether it's being a nun or being married or taking a particular job or going to a particular school, like, say, college. Whenever you have a big decision to make, you want to both pray about it and then you want to investigate it. You want to learn more about it and you want to get some experience with it. So like in the case of becoming a nun, you would want to talk to a vocations director and learn more about different monasteries and, you know, places that you might go to be a nun. You'd want to learn about different orders and the kinds of things they do in those orders and think, is this one that sounds like it would be a good fit for me? Do I think I would be happy doing that? And then you'd want to make contact with the order and maybe spend some time visiting one of their houses. And then if you decide that a particular order looks promising, that you think you might be happy there, then you'd enter what's called the novitiate, which is a time where you do go and you live with them and learn what their life is like. And you're not committed yet to staying there permanently, but you have a chance to experience it so that you get that information you need so that with prayer and with experience, you can make a good decision.
How's that, Emerson? You know, I see you're from Omaha, Nebraska, and in outside of Omaha, there are the Carmelites, and now that would be a kind of life where you would be you'd be cloistered, and so very much contained where you are, praying the office. But then there are many orders of nuns that are more active in the world. There are teaching orders. There are nuns like Mother Teresa's nuns that are helping the dying off of the street and tending the sick. And so there's a wide variety of charisms that different orders of nuns have. And so Mr. Aiken has given you excellent advice, and it's actually advice, if I'm not mistaken here, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Aiken, but it comes from that passage in scripture where Nathaniel or Bartholomew says, well, what good could come from Nazareth? And then he hears, well, come and see. And that's what these orders call it. They call it a come and see visit. So you could go and take a look and see what they do. So you've had really good advice here, and the main thing there, to pray about it and give it to God. And it's a beautiful thing that you're thinking about it at the age that you are. So God bless you. We'll be praying for you.
And that passage, if you want to read it, is in John chapter 1.
Thank you. That's why you're here. God bless you. How's that, Emerson? Is that helpful?
Yes, it was very helpful.
All right, God bless you. And one more thing. The whole Catholic Answer, or much of the Catholic Answer speaking team, is going to be in Omaha, Nebraska, in Omaha, or a suburb. I think it's called Villa something or other. And if you go to spiritcatholicradio.com, which is the local network there in Omaha, run by our good friends there, Jim Carroll and those other folks, they're hosting a big conference with Catholic Answers. So you can come and hear Carlo and Trent and Tim and Cy, and I'll be there, and it's going to be a great time. And I think that's November 1st, November 2nd. It's November 2nd. So All Souls Day. So come to the conference, okay? Bring your parents.
Okay.
All right. God bless you, dear. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. Taking calls only from kids with Mr. Jimmy Aiken, Senior Apologist at Catholic Answers, Chris Check, sitting in for Cy Kellett. Let's go. Speaking of Nathaniel, let's go to Nathaniel.
Okay.
In Salem, Oregon.
Okay.
Nathaniel, welcome to Catholic Answers Live. What is your question for Mr. Aiken? Nathaniel, are you there? Nathaniel, Salem, Oregon. Did we lose him? Where did he go?
I don't know. We may have to work on that.
Nathaniel, can you call back? I love your question.
It is a good question.
Do you want to wait till he... I want to hear the answer.
Well, let's see. He may want to clarify
it a little bit. All right. Nathaniel, I don't know where you went, but we hope that you call back because you have a great question, and I want to hear the answer to it. So, and I know all our listeners do too.
Especially since we haven't even told them what it is.
That's right.
We need closure on this.
That's right. Yeah, maybe after the break. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. Nathaniel.
And just to make it a little easier to dial that, it's 888-318-7884.
Kids
may not be used to dialing that number.
You know what, Mr. Aiken? Nick Chamberlain, our awesome radio engineer, in bold letters had slowly written next to the phone number, and I clearly ignored his counsel. 888-318-7884. Nathaniel, I hope you call back. Let's go to Sarah in beautiful San Antonio, Texas. Sarah, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, thank you.
What's your question for Mr. Aiken?
My question is, why is it better to receive Jesus on the tongue rather than on our hands?
Well, the church doesn't say that it's better to receive Jesus on the tongue rather than in the hand. That's an opinion that many people have because they think that doing it that way is a way that lets them show more reverence for Jesus. And because they don't even, you know, with our hands, we're used to touching and manipulating things. That's what hands are for, is to let us touch and manipulate things. And by not touching the host and by not handling the host, it can be a sign of, this is special. This is different than everything else in my life. And so people, and I'm one of them, I always receive on the tongue. When I receive the Eucharist, I always receive on the tongue because it's my personal preference. It's a way that I can show extra reverence for Jesus. But I don't look down on anybody who has a different preference. The church doesn't say everybody has to have my personal preferences. Other people can express Jesus. They can express their reverence for Jesus in other ways. They can love Jesus just as much as I do. They can be just as good at Catholics. They can be better Catholics than I am. But different people have different sensibilities on this. And what we want to do is have peace and respect for each other, no matter whether a person's preference is receiving on the tongue or in the hand. We can all love Jesus and just figure out what your personal preference is, especially as you're moving into adulthood. Until then, you know, if your parents say do it a certain way, then do it a certain way. But determine as in adulthood what you think best helps you show your love and reverence for Jesus and do it that way. But be aware that other people have other ways of showing their love and reverence for Jesus.
How's that, Sarah? Does that give some clarity for you?
Yes, that's perfect. Thank you for answering my question.
Good, good, sure good. Thing. You're there in the beautiful city of San Antonio. There are so many lovely churches downtown there, St. Mary's and St. Joseph's, and of course your cathedral. And then south of town, you've got all four of those beautiful missions. I'm sure you visited them.
Yes, sir.
Good, good, good. All right. Well, keep Catholic Answers in your prayers, Sarah.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay. Take care. All right. We're going to take a little break here, Jimmy. But before we do, I want to invite all of our listeners to visit shop.catholic.com. And the reason I want to is because we are currently having a back to school. Oh, did you know it's back to school?
Oh, not for me. Yes. I study all the time.
Right. Very good.
Did you know the Chinese have a constellation that represents poop?
I never knew that until just very, very recently.
Yeah, they do.
Yes.
It's connected with the traditional Chinese system of astrology where they have...
Which is related to the human body?
No, the pole star. The Chinese imperial court, they developed this more than 2,000 years ago when the Chinese emperor was a new thing. And so they represented the pole star as the Chinese emperor because it never moves and everything revolves around him.
Now, is that what we would call the North Star?
The North Star, okay, yeah. Today it's Polaris, but it changes over time.
Right.
But then the stars around the pole star that circle it most closely, they became the emperor's court. And the imperial palace. And then as you move down the sky, you have progressively less nobility. So the emperor is at the top. He's the most noble person in China. Then his court is a little less noble. Then you have other things
I can guess where this constellation might be.
It's under Orion.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Oh, well, that makes sense, yeah. I guess. Yeah. Very good. Okay. Well, so... there you go, boys and girls. If you continue to study, when school is out, all kinds of things you will learn.
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. Okay, where was I going?
Oh, but so we have something for
parents.
That's
right, school. That's right. School is coming back, and you're going to learn all kinds of interesting facts, like the Chinese constellations, I'm sure. But your children will be challenged when they go back to school by other people their age who do not believe what they believe. And some things that would really have surprised you when you were in school, as you know. And so Catholic Answers has put together a back to school sale to help you address these challenges. So visit shop.catholic.com to take advantage of dozens of great deals at shop.catholic.com to help you and your children prepare for challenges to their faith that they will experience when they go back to school. shop.catholic.com.
It's all about the truth. Catholic Answers Live.
Now, not only can you watch EWTN anywhere, but anytime with EWTN On Demand. Get on-demand access to more than 12,000 EWTN programs, including live shows and specials, all in one place, all free. Just go to EWTN.com/on-demand. There's nothing to fill out, no memberships required, and no fees to pay. All you need is an internet connection, and you're good to go. EWTN On Demand. Fast, easy, and free.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Catholic Answers Live. Catholic Answers Live. My name is Chris Check. I'm president of Catholic Answers. I'm sitting in for your regular host, Cy Kellett, who's recovering from a little bit of back something.
Back pain.
Back pain, yes. So keep Cy in your prayers. And God willing, he'll be in this chair on Monday. I am hosting and joined with me here in studio. I'm joined in studio by senior apologist at Catholic Answers, Mr. Jimmy Akin. And we are taking calls in just a little bit of time left. We are taking calls only from kids, anyone under 18 years old. You have a question about religion, theology, philosophy, the Chinese constellations.
Yeah. They also have an outhouse and a privacy screen.
Yeah. Okay, good. Yeah. Constellations generally. Mm-hmm. Mathematics.
Yeah, sure.
Sure. Other religions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But and we do have lines open for kids to call.
Absolutely, we do. 888-318-7884. So, thanks be to God, Nathaniel in Salem, Oregon, called back. Nathaniel, welcome to Catholic Answers Live. What is your question for Mr. Akin?
Hello. Sorry about earlier.
No, that's quite all right.
We're lost.
Go ahead. Sorry.
I don't know why, but why did every creed wasp? They're like bees, but if they have knives.
Okay.
And they're really rude. They just stab and they just poke people.
Yeah. So wasps are annoying to humans for the most part. You know, they sting, and unlike bees, they can sting more than once. You know, when a bee stings, it loses its stinger, and so it can only sting once. But wasps can do it more than once. And sometimes, you know, they're like other creatures, they're protective of their nests. You know, it's like we're, as humans, we're protective of our homes, and they're protective of their homes. And sometimes they want to put their homes on our homes, and it causes a problem. But there are also good qualities to wasps. This is something that is true of everything God made. God didn't make anything that's fundamentally bad. Everything he made is ultimately good. Even if, like us, you know, we got a little broken because of Adam and Eve, so we have sin. But we have our good qualities too. Wasps have their good qualities. Everything God made ultimately has good in it. It may be hard for us to see what's good about it, but it is there. Personally, for me, the big challenge is not wasps, it's cockroaches. But even with cockroaches, I can understand that, okay, all of the different creatures that God made, all of the animals and plants and all of the microbes and all of the funguses and everything, it all forms one big system and they play off of each other. So, like zebras play a role in the life of lions. Lions eat zebras, and so that's how they get their food. But then the lion will die and the microbes will eat the lion. And then the microbes will be used as fertilizer by plants, which grow up and then feed the zebras. And so you have this cycle of life thing going where each creature plays a part in God's overall plan of how it all works together. And the same thing is true of wasps and even cockroaches. They all play a part in this plan in keeping the system of life going and relating to each other, and thus showing in one way or another how cool God is. Because he thought of all this, and he thought of all the different ways that these creatures could be. And even if they're not always our funnest things, we still know that God is good and wise, and he has a plan. And we can see through science, we can see parts of his plan and how all these creatures relate to each other. We don't understand it all, but we understand enough to see there is a plan, and that shows how great God is. And so when we see something like a wasp or a cockroach and we think, ooh, I don't quite I don't personally like that. We can still say, but it has a place in God's plan. And maybe in the next life, I'll get to see enough of God's plan that I understand why this is the way it is.
How about that, Nathaniel? Does that help?
Yeah, it helps a lot. Thank you.
Okay, Glory. All right, keep us in your prayers, Nathaniel. I have a Nathaniel, my youngest boy at home. That's a good name. It's a good name. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. Taking calls only from kids. Mr. Aiken, you made a pretty compelling case there for wasps and cockroaches, but my wife, Jacqueline, is still puzzled about mosquitoes.
Uh-huh. Well, it's going to be the same basic answer.
Now, you did refer to something there in your answer. You made a reference to the fall.
Yeah.
Would I have reacted badly to a mosquito or a wasp if, you know, before the fall?
That's something people could have different opinions about.
Okay.
Because according to some people, basically, before the fall, human beings had superpowers. So they wouldn't have been vulnerable to a wasp, and they wouldn't have been able to be hurt by a wasp, and they also would have had better knowledge of God's plan, and so they might not be bothered by a wasp. But other people have another opinion and say, maybe we didn't quite have superpowers.
Right.
You know, when the devil tempted Adam and Eve, it was not to lose knowledge, it was to gain knowledge. And that would suggest that maybe they didn't have a complete picture of God's plan, and they might go, ooh, a wasp. Now, in the next life, after the resurrection, we will have superpowers, and we will understand God's plan better than we do now, so we won't have a problem with wasps then, but that's the state of glory, and God didn't create Adam and Eve in a state of glory, and so it's possible that, in the opinion of some people, that they could have been stung and not liked it.
That's a good answer, Mr. Aiken. I'm looking forward to those powers. Like,
me
I'm looking
too.
Forward to be able to getting through a whole book very quickly.
Yeah.
Will I be able to do that?
Oh, I assume. Just infuse knowledge, direct download.
Super. All right. I think we can get at least one more question here. Let's go to Anna calling from Iowa. Anna, welcome to Catholic Answers Live.
Hi.
Hi, Anna. How are you?
Good.
All right. Let's try to get your question in before we lose this hour.
In the book of Tobit, why wasn't the angel Raphael lying when he said he was the son of one of Tobit's relatives instead of an angel?
Well, this is a very interesting question, and the answer will depend on a couple of things. One thing it will depend on is what's the nature of the Book of Tobit. If you just pick it up and start reading it to one of us today, it can sound like it's just straightforward history. And when you look closer at it, though, and you know more about the literature from back then, the kind of books people had back then, you start to find out it's maybe not quite history the way we think of history. St. John Paul II said that Tobit is actually not simple history. It's actually a story that has moral lessons in it, but it uses a lot of language that's more symbolic. And so if that's the case, if not everything in Tobit is meant to be taken literally, then maybe we shouldn't take the idea of Raphael saying, oh, I'm one of your relatives. Maybe that's one of the symbols. Maybe that didn't literally happen in history quite that way. And so if that's the case, Tobit may not have, or Raphael may not have literally done that. On the other hand, the other thing it can depend on is what lying actually is, and that is a complex subject I can't really go into now, but there are different opinions, and some people's opinions would say that there could be a justifying reason he would say that. And if he's an angel and he really did that, presumably there was a good reason he said that.
You know why I like the Book of Tobit?
Why?
Mr. Aiken? Because he has a dog.
Uh-huh.
Doesn't he? Isn't he pictured with? Maybe that's an artist interpretation. Doesn't he have a dog?
Maybe. I know he has. Tobit has cataracts at one point. Yeah. It's not a dog, but they're cataracts.
There's a fish involved.
Fish involved. Yep.
Pretty sure there's a dog. Catholic Answers Live. Chris Check sitting in for Cy Kellett. Cy will be back in this chair on Monday, God willing. Keep him in your prayers. Keep Catholic Answers in your prayers, and know that we pray for all of you.